My name is Deborah Johnson, and I'm an adult Korean adoptee from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And childhood?
I grew up in Minneapolis. I was adopted from Korea when I was almost five. I was originally in the Seoul City baby home, and then after a short period of time, I was transferred to the community.
Tell me about your adopted family.
I'm the youngest of five. I'm the only adopted child in my family. I have three sisters and a brother. My father was a Lutheran pastor. He's retired now. And my mother was a full-time homemaker. She has since passed away. And I think that they really wanted to add to their family. I also think that after hearing a presentation about all the needy children and the street children in Korea, they were really touched and thought that they could provide a good home and a good family for a child who needed one.
And how old are you now?
I'm 44.
How old are you now?
I'm 44.
And have you ever met your brother?
They destroyed all their records, so I don't really have a story like I was left at a police station or in a park or anything like that, so there's not enough detail that would be recognizable to anyone. And I've sort of toyed with the idea of, you know, doing, you know, newspaper, TV, but that just hasn't felt comfortable to me. That feels really public, and this is a really private issue for me, and so that hasn't felt like a comfortable avenue for me. Anybody defining that for me as prejudice or racism. There were obviously overt sort of the mean teasing things that kids say to each other, and I think as I got older it was more a sense of not being included, as opposed to, I mean, kids in high school don't, you know, tease each other with racial things very much, but you don't get invited to things, you don't participate in things. That was more my experience as myself.
And you're a mother of how many children?
I have two children. I have a 19-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son.
And what was the toughest issue you have to deal with as an adoptee?
I think the toughest issue for myself, as well as many adoptees, is really trying to figure out how to deal with the grief and the loss that creates adoption. And for years, we never talked about it in adoption. People didn't want to think about it. And I think as a society, particularly Western society, we're really bad at that. We're very much about, oh, don't think about it, or get over it, or just move forward. And we don't have good rituals. We don't really respect that process. And we see it as a weakness or in different ways every day. And one of the things I've been thinking about a lot is sort of that inherited grief that our children have and the loss that they have. They have a lost generation as well. They don't know their Korean grandparents. They don't know things about their Korean culture and heritage, because how, as adoptees, do we pass on to them something that was never taught to us? And so some of us did the quick study thing and tried to figure that stuff out a half a step ahead of them, but in all fairness, they aren't getting probably the true nature of their cultural roots, sort of undiluted in that sense. And so I think that's a continual piece of how do you manage that without letting it overwhelm you so that it kind of swallows up your life, and yet acknowledging it and giving it its place in your life so that it's not a repression that pops up and harms you later on down the road.
You still continue to grieve, sir?
Yeah, I do. And it's little things. Of belonging. And I also, there are other things that happen when I go to Korean cultural events and I see little kids learning how to drum and how to dance and those things. Like, I never had that opportunity. I missed out on that. I was 30 years old before I ever even saw that stuff. And yet, it really resonated with me and I felt it. And I thought, oh, all those years that I missed out on that, and that really is mine. And I felt entitled to it, but I felt resentful that it had been withheld from me.
So what made you
I guess I don't have a clear-cut opinion about transracial adoption. I think it exists. It's something that is not going to go away. I really believe that there are people, there are families that can parent transracially and do a really good job. I think it's a lot of hard work, and I think it demands that they think and parent in a way that, for many of them, sort of goes against their natural instincts. And so I think that it takes an ongoing effort on their part to remain attuned and connected to what their kids need, and that it doesn't come easy for them. I think there's a lot of people who don't do it very well, who don't try, who don't know, and by no fault of their own, they just don't understand. And those are the kids that I really worry about, because they are like two generations ago, how I grew up, really isolated. And what's difficult is then when they reach adulthood, they're really unprepared. And many of them flounder in a pretty devastating way. And I think the parents feel bad about that. I think the kids feel terrible. And nobody can understand, like, what went wrong. And it's kind of like, well, wow, you know, some of this should have been done from the very beginning. And you can't really go back and start over again. Kind of like the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. And you have to do damage control at that point. And so for families who are willing to make the commitment to do the work, to reap the rewards, I think it works. I think that it takes a lot of conscious effort, though.
Adopting Americans or something like that, you know, it's like...
Well, I think there's two parts to that. It's, and I think it has to go back to the kind of the dichotomy of identity. And part of identity is how other people perceive you. And we are a country that takes people literally at face value. You are what you look like. And the more you can sort of reconcile yourself with that and feel comfortable with that, not that it's right or wrong, it just exists that way. To deny that you're Korean American, that's just foolish. That's like me saying, well, tomorrow I'd really like to be, you know, African American. So that's what I'm going to be tomorrow. Well, that's not possible. And so I think we need to really reconcile ourselves to the fact that we are Korean. We were born in Korea. We look Korean. We're American. We live in America. I think internally and for your own sort of sense of realistic connectedness, if you need to add the adoptee hyphen in there, you can do that. I don't choose to do that because being adopted isn't the way I necessarily define myself. It's how I entered in my family. It explains some of the issues that I have in my life, but it isn't one of the structures that I hang my life around. It isn't an important part of who I am, but it isn't the way that I would go and move through the world and want people to identify me through that.
Do you try to... Well, can you tell me about the history of Korean adoption?
The history of Korean adoption really has its roots in the Korean War. And after the Korean War, there were many children who were left literally homeless, orphans on the street. And there were organizations within Korea, and then probably the most visible was Harry Holt, who came from Crestwell, Oregon, who was an American, who his life was transformed because he felt a calling, literally, to help these children. And he literally spent his life savings building an orphanage in Ilsan. And he himself and his wife adopted 8 of these street children and really felt that his mission in life was to make sure that, at minimum, that these children had a safe place to live, and at maximum that he would find loving families for them. And so that's sort of how it evolved as far as international adoption, and that there are other agencies that have roots in a very similar sort of one man, one mission kind of story, but I think his was the most visible because he was an American, and how unusual for someone to spend their entire fortune helping children in another country.
Okay, do you have any last words you'd like to say?
I think that the issue of transracial adoption is something that we all need to pay attention to, and that I don't want to make a judgment of whether that it's right or that it's wrong, but those of us who are in the adoption community need to remember that we have to be there to support the children, and by helping the families, not by shaming them or making them feel bad about what they've done or telling them that they've done something bad, but to really support them. It's kind of a done deal at that point, and that the best we can hope for is that they figure out how to parent their children in the best possible way, and that we work really hard at making sure that the children and the adoptees have a solid foundation to build their lives upon, and that any part that we can play in that as adult adoptees, I think, is really important to remember.